matter, and you may proceed.
Thank you. My name is Rodney Benson. I represent the appellate, Mr. Kevin Pierce, and I appreciate the opportunity to come before you today. This case is really about fair play. Mr. Pierce is a long-term, very successful agent for Mutual of Omaha, a lifetime career starting in 1987. And through those years, he acquired a large block of business, which provided him and for his wife to their retirement a flow of commissions, trails, whatever you want to call it, insurance business, to basically continuing compensation based on the purchases of securities or insurance in the system. Now, Old Mutual of Omaha issues and markets life insurance, and then there's mutual funds and other products, including variable life and variable annuities, which are securities under the federal law and are required to be distributed by a broker-dealer and underwritten by a broker-dealer. Mutual of Omaha also issues investment advice to the holders of securities or purchases of securities for a fee, and again, that must be go through an entity that is registered under the federal securities laws or the state requirements.
How is this relevant to the issues before us on appeal?
That is relevant because of the program, if you want to call it, that Mutual of Omaha has embarked upon into trying to first, and some success, keeping the names, addresses, and phone numbers from Mr. Pearson's possession after they terminated his employment. When they terminated his employment in 2014, they walked in on a Friday morning, told him and his wife, who's his assistant, to leave the room, and they took all of his personal property, including a number of computers, upon which Mutual of Omaha allowed Mr. Pierce and all the other agents to maintain copies of the records, Mutual of Omaha's records, relating to their clients. Now, Mr. Pierce was registered with a subsidiary affiliate of Mutual of Omaha, Mutual of Omaha Investor Services, as both the registered representative and as an investment advisor representative.
And isn't Pierce currently in arbitration proceedings with Mutual
of
Omaha Investor Services?
And that's where we're going to.
What's the status of that arbitration right now, counsel?
It's going to hearing in February.
February of 2016?
2016. And a main thank you for the question, because I'll change. Anyhow, it's better to respond to a question than try to think of myself. The Mutual of Omaha came in, grabbed those documents, grabbed the things, and would not allow Mr. Pierce to keep the basic information from those files, such as the names, addresses, phone numbers, and email addresses, as Nebraska state law provides under the First Express Service versus Easter case. They have used the HIPAA and regulation SP interpretation, which are included in the Mutual of Omaha's master contract, as a basis for keeping these documents or this information from Mr. Pierce. Now, that isn't litigation because they brought the action against Mr. Pierce in before FINRA. But the person
so it's an arbitration, not litigation, right?
Pardon me?
It's an arbitration, not
it,
litigation.
It was brought by the subsidiary that we believe, well, I'll get to that.
But let me interrupt you, see if I've got the framework here. You're arguing that you should not be be subject to arbitration?
No, absolutely not. We are, I'm sorry, maybe I should have started out. We asked the lower court to compel Mutual of Omaha to join its subsidiary as the plaintiff.
But in your arbitration proceedings, you rejected that Mutual should participate in arbitration proceedings, didn't you?
I don't agree. We did not. And we have...
In the arbitration?
We are asking that. They never attempted to join it.
Okay, let me see if I'm on board now. Let me see if I'm on board. There's a case out there in which you are in arbitration with a securities entity. Is that right? And in this case, you want another mutual entity to be forced to go into that other arbitration.
That's
correct. Is that it?
That's correct. Okay. Because for two reasons. One is, and it's important to look at the omnibus contract that Mutual of Omaha has for its agents. Mutual of Omaha, which is unusual, and I've been in the industry a day or two, they have this, and you'll see it as one of your exhibits, I think it's exhibit one. It's just a microfiche. But it's a 1990 contract and it, between Mr. Pierce and Mutual of Omaha. And it has, in this clause, in the second paragraph, the contract including the attachments incorporated from time to time by reference consists in entire agreement with respect to the subject matter. Oh boy, 7 minutes goes in a hurry. Very simply, the contract between Mutual of Omaha, Mr. Pierce, incorporates by reference the Mutual of Omaha Investor Services contract between Mr. Pierce and subsidiary, which has an arbitration clause.
Counsel, did you present that argument to the trial court?
Yes.
Where in the record would I find that?
Frankly, I haven't.
Because I didn't. And so okay, if you could direct me to it, it would be helpful.
I don't know if I did it orally or not. I did in pleadings. We also
so it's your position, it's your position that your motion seeking to compel arbitration referenced the contract, a contractual agreement to arbitrate. Is that your position?
Frankly, I can't tell you if it was mentioned in the motion itself or during the hearing.
But you believe it was one of those places?
Yes.
That it was either argued to the court or that it is in the motion itself?
It's in the motion. It's in the record.
Thank you.
Further, we also argued more strongly at that point equitable estoppel on the issue of that the lower court found that the contract between and the issues between the names and addresses under CIPIC, which only is binding on Mr. Pierce through the Omnibus Mutual of Omaha contract and is not subject to the MOIS contract, yet the MOIS, which is a broker-dealer investment advisor, is the only one that's subject to Regulation SP. So, Mutual of Omaha is attempting, and to date very successful, to avoid the counterclaim contained in that arbitration action for the damages suffered by Mr. Pierce as a result of their keeping his names and address and phone number of his customer base and preventing him from fairly competing for his customers. Now, that trail amounted to approximately $400,000 per year. By terminating him and going after his customers, Mutual Omaha or its affiliates keep him. That's what we're fighting for. Get Mutual of Omaha in that arbitration so that they will be bound by the arbitrator's decision whether or not what they did was wrongful. Thank you. I'll reserve 3 minutes.
Thank you very much. Mr. Jeffries, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Rick Jeffries. I'm the second of three lawyers from Klein Williams, Wright, Johnson, and Oldfather that you'll hear have the dubious fortune of hearing from this morning. The question presented here, as much as I would like to talk to this Court about its holding in First Express versus Easter, is not, that question isn't here. The question that is before this Court now is whether Mr. Pierce may compel arbitration from a lawsuit that he himself brought in district court when he acknowledged in open court that none of the parties against whom he seeks to compel arbitration, namely my clients, Mutual of Omaha Insurance Company, or Continuum, had agreed to arbitration. If the answer to that question seems fairly straightforward, it's because we contend the answer is as straightforward as the question would present it. Let me kind of set up what the sensibility of how Judge Otepka handled this in the district court. There are two similarly situated affiliates that each had business relationships from Mutual of Omaha with Mr. Pierce. One the insurance company, one the securities entity. And they had these relationships. One has an arbitration agreement and one does not. To the court's questions about was this argument raised below, I think that question is hazy. If you read the briefs, it's at least raised in the briefs and we respond to it there, wherein we point out that the provision of the contracts or the specific contract between MOIS, the securities entity, and Mr. Pierce says in its own language, this is binding between the parties hereto. And the only signatories to that document, be they or be they not part of the omnibus document that Mr. Vincent refers to, the only parties thereto are MOIS and Mr. Pierce. And we submit that the only correct argument or the only correct outcome then is that only those parties may be held to arbitration. In any event, when an impasse happens after the documents are retrieved from Mr. Pierce's office, Investor Services files the arbitration. After that arbitration is filed, the district court action is filed. Meanwhile, in the arbitration, Mr. Pierce says, I want possession of all of my things. And he says that to the arbitration panel. And he also says, as the court correctly pointed out in questions to Mr. Vincent, no, Mutual of Omaha and Mutual of Omaha Insurance Company and Continuum may not even be mentioned in the papers here because they are not parties to the arbitration.
So is Pierce judicially estopped?
I think there's a pretty strong argument that he's judicially estopped. There's a fair question about whether he actually, was successful in that argument in some sort of binding sense. I think probably the better argument is that he waived his right to arbitration because he proceeded if he had any, which we certainly dispute, but to the extent he had any right to arbitration, he waived that by acting inconsistently with it and filing suit. And certainly, his assertions to Judge Otepka that he was not a party to a contract with Mutual of Omaha, I think he ought to be held to those, whether or not they rise to the level of judicial estoppel. So Judge Otepka orders the litigation stayed, and we're not talking about the merits, although Mr. Vincent wanted you to. We're not talking about the merits. He will be heard on the merits of his claims against MOIS in February, and to the extent anything remains to be decided by Judge Otepka thereafter. The merits are intact, or the merits are available to be heard in both fora. So there's not any sort of merits prejudice by virtue of what Judge Otepka has done here. To the contrary, it's preserved all his rights in all the forums in which Mr. Pierce has brought claims.
Counsel, I want to back you up for just a moment. Indulge me.
Certainly.
Both parties have suggested in their briefing that Judge Otepka's order denying the motion to compel arbitration was a final appealable order. And this court has held previously that orders denying motions to compel arbitration are final appealable orders because they affect a substantial right and they're made during a special proceeding. Do you believe that analysis from our prior cases suggests that the order in this case is a final appealable order?
I think the only way the arbitration statutes work is if that there is immediate review of a denial of arbitration, because if he has that substantial right, and of course we contend he does not, he has been deprived of it.
So if your contention is that he doesn't have a substantial right to arbitration as against the investor services company and Continuum, how is that order affecting a substantial right?
We contend he doesn't have the right against Mutual of Omaha.
The insurance.
The two defendants in this case.
Right. My appellees here are the people who against whom he does not have a substantial right.
The insurance okay. type entity.
The insurance type entity does not have an arbitration agreement. And I suppose you wind up sort of collapsing the question of whether there is a substantial right into the question of jurisdiction.
Which we have to address as a preliminary threshold issue.
I think that's fair. But I think, you know, he alleges, he comes to you saying he's been deprived of this right. I agree that he has no such right, or I contend that he has no such right. And so I don't think he has been deprived of anything. And I don't intend to, I'd be happy to win this case, however, on jurisdiction as well as on anything else. But I think the larger point is there is no substantial right. Whether that happens at the jurisdictional level or at the merits of this particular appeal level, I don't have a strong opinion. Although I think the point of the arbitration statutes is this is supposed to be reviewable immediately following the denial. That there are going to be people who are wrong about their right to arbitrate, but they're going to have the immediate right to appeal. So my gut is the appeal is hearable, but for the reasons the court is suggesting that there are, you know, there is no right to be upheld here, so we ask for affirmance on that ground. Does that make sense? Kind of? All right. So with all of that in mind, the black letter law is if there is no agreement for a party to arbitrate, he can't be compelled to arbitrate. This court was reluctant before the Nebraska arbitration statute was passed to impose arbitration under any circumstances.
That's the old days.
Those are the old days. But still, the law is relatively clear that absent an agreement to arbitrate, there can be no arbitration. There is some authority from other jurisdictions about equitable estoppel. There is not a case in Nebraska that I'm aware of where an equitable estoppel in the arbitration context has been applied. If the court was going to make new law on the point, I would suggest this is not the case to do it. Neither Mutual nor Continuum have sought any relief under the contract that we're talking about. In fact, when Mutual of Omaha Investor Services invoked arbitration, it was through the FINRA registration process and the U4 form that Mr. Pierce had signed, which made him an associated person for purposes of the FINRA rules. Mutual of Omaha Investor Services is a member for purposes of the FINRA rules. The FINRA rules are binding by virtue of the securities laws. And,
so that's just a garden variety arbitration agreement in the securities world.
That's a garden variety. Everybody's got to have one, and that's what we invoked. We did not invoke the documents here.
And that's going forward, in answer to Justice Stacy's question, that's going forward evidently.
That's going forward. That's going to be heard in a couple of months. I've actually, one of my former partners, Mr. Griffin from QTAC Rock, is conducting that, so Mr. Pierce knows more about its status than I do. That is going to be heard, and I don't have any different information from what Mr. Vincent had to tell you. So,
how will that affect this lawsuit?
Probably, it will be dispositive. FINRA is going to say, either give the stuff back or don't give the stuff back. The question of the rights to the data on the computers has been raised there. The rights to the possession of all the other information and property that Mr. Vincent's client wants back has been raised there. Probably it's going to be dispositive. I would suggest that absent an irregularity of some kind that would rise to the level of what constitutes grounds for vacating the arbitration award, that practically that's going to be the end of things.
Which, if I may say then, in this case, right, there's a stay. which could await a resolution in the arbitration, which could satisfy at least some of the relief sought here.
That is exactly how Judge Otepka framed it. If there's anything remaining to be taken up once FINRA has acted on the issues in dispute there, the court has indicated a willingness to take them up, but it's not obvious that there's going to be any such issues.
Okay. And just to clarify, MOIS was never a party in this lawsuit.
MOIS was never a party in the district court suit. That's correct.
This one, thank you.
I'll make one last point about equitable estoppel, and that is that it depends on reliance, as we've already pointed out. Mr. Pierce was never fooled. He never relied on anything that Mutual of Omaha did here or the Continuum did here. In fact, he always said, I don't believe that Mutual of Omaha is entitled to until arbitration until he changed his mind later on in the case. Law of the case doesn't apply for reasons we talked about in our brief. We ask for affirmance, and if there are not any questions, I will thank the court. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much. Is there any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal, so we will go on to the next case today.
You used all 10 minutes.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I did.
Yes, I'm sorry, Mr.
Redson. That said three, and... Okay, I didn't
know. Mm-hmm. That takes us to the next case of the day, which is Dottie versus Westgate Bank, Inc. And before we get started here, we will need to have everybody get in and out of the courtroom. Please note that Justice Wright is recused in this case. Justice Stacy is recused in this case.